Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
A very, very, very warm welcome. Welcome to this fantastic show right here. This is, of course, Unplugged and In Charge. Thank you very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you. You now part of the tribe of superstar leaders that are helping to really shape the country, shape the youth of the country. And it starts with the mind. When the victory is won in the mind, then the rest is history. And we, the people, we have the power. The power to change our lives and the power to change the lives of others around us, and ultimately really just to impact the whole society in a really positive way. I'm of course joined with two gentlemen right here. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Panda. I'm good, bro. I'm all good, Weza.
Oh, fantastic stuff. And Lesicho?
I'm 100% all the time.
Fantastic. Okay, cool. Yeah, so man. I got Von and Lesicho right here with me. Simpiwe is unfortunately a bit sick.
Yeah.
He was actually hospitalized over the weekend.
And then he tells us afterwards, like, you know, oh, guys, by the way.
In the meantime.
You know? Yeah, you go to hospital in stealth mode, and then you come back and you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I was in hospital. So, just don't send any flowers.
Yeah,
okay?
you go to hospital in stealth mode, then you come out dropping bombs.
Hey,
bro.
Yeah, like, no, damn. I was a bit surprised, but it's good that he's fine now.
Yeah, he's
really
good.
Just gaining some strength at home. He's charging up, and I mean, part of his prescription, I know the doctor did say that he must listen to the show because it will charge him up. You know.
Yeah.
I think actually we need to speak to doctors. They need to have it as part of
their prescription,
right?
So you got to take two pills in the morning, and at 12 o'clock on a Thursday, you got to listen to Unplugged.
Yeah! That sounds really dope to me. All right, so we got to start the show the same way we start the show these days. We have to give you that motivation minute. Right here, this one has to go to people like Simpiwe right now, chilling at home, you know, they're powerless. And they just want that voice to say, you know what? I can do it.
You can do it.
Vaughn, you're going to do the deeds to us today, right?
Okay, let me see what's happening. Yo. Speed always throws me back, bro. Like listening to, like staying up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Listening to the wrestling. Yeah.
Let's go.
Check me out. I'm going to do it differently. On the spot. Check it out. Yeah. In high school, I was heavily debated. They told me I'd never make it. That's because they didn't understand the difference between a rebellious kid and a creative. But listen, I put on for my city now like I've changed my sneakers. Without this beat and this flow, you think I'm white, man, they'd never believe us. I keep it all in sequence, perfectly even, throwing up words like I'm a bulimic. The name's born a poet, son, you can run out and scream it. And even when you think I'm lying, baby, just know that I mean it. This is a global attack, like a dreaming strategy. I'm leaving nothing untouched, they're gonna hear all of me. Cause I stay true to this, even though I'm new to this. I don't really give a damn, Julius. And it's true, son, you gotta keep hustling in God. You gotta put your trust in him. Don't lose sight of what you want and get it. And pay your dues like a parking ticket. Haters are gonna try fit in it, but cut them off like braces at a dentist, forget it. I scribbled this down in like 5 minutes. I'm not really a rapper, I just get on this beat and vibe with it, combine life with it. My Jameson, I like ice with it. I don't disrespect it, but I add Sprite to it. So tell me, what's a relationship without a little fight? And then just when you think I might end it, I might flip it around. And that's this whole thing to bend for it. Was that the verse or a person you can ask yourself? But soon, I'ma be worth massive wealth. Give my family what they dreamed of and pass it down. Snap back off, dog. This is now a crown.
Yeah!
The whole time. What? Lips. Bars. Dropping my headphones. Done with this.
Put a little bit of motivation in a rap song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew it. I mean, Lesicho, didn't you say it? Didn't you say he was going to rhyme with orange and all this?
I was like,
you know what inspires me a lot, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people can be inspiring without having to say inspiring words.
That's
and sometimes
true.
That is hella dope. Because sometimes I watch like young people doing cool things, especially young people in like positions in the sporting world, and they're really competing on a level with people older than them, people better than them, faster and bigger, and people in the creative industry who are like up and coming creatives, and people like are starting their own little business, competing with massive corporates.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just their actions and the way they are tells you that you can do it too, you know? Like, they don't have to stand up and say, you can be the best you're being. They like go out there with their actions and they show it, bro. And sometimes I find inspiration in that kind of thing. I find inspiration in the young kids painting pictures on the side of the road that they're going to sell to the people on the to cars that drive by, you know? I find inspiration in young people saying, you know, this is not working. Let me try and make it better. Let me start this little company. Let me start an MPO. Let me start a sole proprietor. Let me do something that they're not doing, because those little actions tell me that, because words are cheap, right? Those little actions tell me that there's real people out there trying to do real things. So I get inspiration from that, bro. I get inspiration from a kid when I say to him, what is it you want to be one day? And he doesn't give me a title. He starts he starts breaking it down in like a poem about the type of person he wants to be, you know? Mm. Taking a different angle and trying to find ways to make people feel like they can be better than what they are now and in a different place to where they are now. Because we get like, so we always get fed the same standard kind of motivation, or we get fed the same standard type of messages. I like it when kids wrap it up and change it around. Like when I met you the first time, you did like, you, the first time we spoke, you like did a voiceover of where you want to be one day. And that's dope, because nobody really can do that, because that's what you do, you know? And I like those little elements that make things different. And I find that, I find inspiration and I find like determination. I gather determination when I see young people doing the things that they know they can do in a way that can inspire the rest of the people, you know? So I like things, man. Do things differently and try. When you think of an idea, or when you think of being in a certain place, sometimes it's not about taking the road that everyone has taken. You know, you can find your own ways, because you need to adapt your journey to match who you are.
Man. Fantastic stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That was Von the Poet. Super fantastic. I feel charged up, man. Thank you so much. And I mean, with this, we got to know Von a bit more.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. And that's a cool thing, man. That's a really cool thing. So the man who's wearing the snapback will soon become a crown. This is a king right here.
That's me, bro. Snapback off, dog. This is now a crown.
That's good. That's really good. All right. So today we thought we were going to do things a little bit differently. So today, what you're going to get is actually a seminar. So we're going to do the seminar style.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you guys two topics right off the cuff. So you guys are going to, or actually I'm going to put three topics on the table, and then you guys are going to pick one. And then obviously, because you've lived, let's say the average person lives about 100 years.
Yeah.
Right now you've pretty much lived the quarter of that, right?
Yeah.
And what I want you to do is take all the knowledge that you've acquired in the quarter life that you've lived and say as much as you can, seminar style, about this certain concept or the certain, you know, the certain theme that we're going to pick. So we'll give you 10 minutes to talk on it, and then we'll do a question and answer.
Levels.
Okay.
Cool stuff. Levels. All right. So topic.
It's a seminar freestyle.
Yeah, bro. Off the top of the dome, like foam on cappuccino.
Listen to this man. He's on fire today. Okay. Yeah. Cool, guys. So I hope you guys are ready.
The whole time.
Hey, bro. It is what it is, man.
Let's okay. See. It is what it is.
All
right. Cool. So
what are the topics?
Topic number one.
Okay.
Success, wealth, and prosperity.
Okay.
How to make a super success of yourself and be super wealthy, and all the other things that you guys know about that type of stuff.
Okay. It's pretty intense. Okay, let me go first.
Wait.
sorry, Captain.
His eager beaver. Topic number two.
Okay.
Is leadership. All the different types of leadership styles there are. What are the best forms of leadership that you've seen? What are the qualities and the true characters of a proper leader that should in fact be leading the country, and just leading just in general, whether it's a country or the corporate industry, or just, you know, a leader of life? but leadership qualities, and you know, you draw inspiration from wherever you draw inspiration from, but just give us amazing leadership, you know, insight. That's topic number two.
Okay.
So, okay, cool.
So there's a third one.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
And topic number three is relationships.
That's
so.
Okay.
In the quarter life that you have lived, you've probably been through a couple of relationships, either whether this is relationships with, you know, a girl, or whether it is a relationship with
a guy.
Yeah, Lesego. Or whether.
Or, 2016, man.
Or whether it is the relationship even with, you know, what is the parent relationship, yeah, and any type of thing that you've learned regarding relationships. What are some of the insights that you have regarding that? Some of those secrets that you think that we would really benefit from. Cool. So
cool.
I want you gentlemen to pick one each of these topics, and then we'll give you 10 minutes to talk on that topic.
What are you going with?
You know, I've done a lot of talks on the leadership one, so I'm going to go with a completely different one. I'm going to go with the success and wealth one.
Cool. Success and wealth.
Because I know that that's down your alley. That's down your alley.
That's so down my alley, though.
So let's switch it up. Like, let's be different.
That's my comfort zone.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm out of... That's not my comfort zone at all.
Okay, cool.
In that case, with myself, I'll talk about relationships, but I'll put a whole different spin on it.
Cool.
I dope.
The whole
so,
time.
Okay, cool. So let's do a ching chong chan. Let's see who goes first.
Who goes
first?
Okay, let's go. One, two,
ching chong
cha. Okay, wait. Okay, what?
Ching chong cha.
Okay, I'll
right. Go first.
I'm first.
Lesefo loses one. You're up.
All right, cool. So, success and wealth. Those are very big, very overused statements. I think the first place you got to start is defining what that means to you. I think there's various different kinds of success, and people consider various different things as wealth. I remember like watching a few YouTube clips on guys that we still celebrate today, like Bob Marley, who talks about him finding wealth in his life, and he finds wealth in living and pursuing what he loves doing, making music. He didn't recognize his wealth as something material. So I think the first part would be just determining what wealth and what success means to you, because it could be various different things. I think that would be step one, because within that you're able to then identify the things you need to do to acquire that or to get into that space. So I think for me, if I had to try and bring make this personal, and hopefully it relates to you guys out there, would be to give you my definition, or at least at the moment, my definition of what I believe it would be for me to be successful, or for me to feel successful, what I would say I would need to do to say that I am now successful. I think something that I've been sitting with for a long time, and I'm pretty sure a lot of young people are, because we all have like a, I think we're all born with a desire to leave something and create something from nothing. And whether that is a business, whether it is artwork, whether it is music, whatever it may be, I feel like we all have that desire to say, okay, I've done this, I've put this into the world, and now I can move on, or now I can do something else, right? So I think what I've been sitting with for a while is thinking of what I can create, because I'll find success in the creations that I take part in and the creations that I pioneer. So, and watching them blossom and watching them help or simplify somebody's life. So I think what I'm going with at the moment is working on creating ideas that will one day come to life. And for me, when those ideas come to life, the rebate or the financial reward from that won't really determine my satisfaction. My satisfaction will be determined by how that creation changed somebody's life, or simplified somebody's life, or provided somebody with opportunity, or created a new way of doing business, a new way of living. I'm very passionate about those things, because it ties into what I believe leaders should be like in the millennium, and what I believe leaders should be like from our generation, and that is that we need new ideas. I believe we've had so many leaders come and go, but we need people with new ideas. And I'm one of those people that will base my success on how many of those new ideas I bring to the table. and how many of those new ideas I execute. The financial reward and the money that comes with it, or whatever else comes with it, sometimes it's not just the money, it could be fame, it could be anything. Those are just secondary. Those are like byproducts of what will actually make me feel successful, because some people can become famous and wealthy and not feel successful because they value it in another way. Some people value it with family and relationships with their children and their wives and their friends. I read an interesting quote by Steve Jobs. It's actually not a quote, it's a very long piece of writing. It's kind of his last thoughts before he died. And he said he was at the pinnacle of business success. He was at the pinnacle of wealth. There's nothing more he could ask for. But he still felt lost in his deathbed, watching the heart monitor slowly beep, watching this fake machine pump air into his lungs. He lay there and thought, this is what I dedicated my whole life to. And while I'm lying here, I feel unaccomplished. And he said it's because when he achieved what he had achieved and when he built Apple to what it was, he would have gone back now if he could and invested his time into things apart from making material wealth. He would have gone into art, into people. He would have done things that he could have left in the world as a part of him besides his business. Because he started thinking about what it really means, what it all really means, what everything really means, you know. He started thinking about what it would take him to be and to feel like he has achieved. And it was very interesting to me because he's one of the greatest achievers of our time, right? Steve Jobs is insane. We all know him. He's unbelievable. But even a man at that caliber, at that status, and in that position, still felt there was something that wasn't there. Because perhaps his idea of what success and wealth was when he had made up his mind to pursue what he pursued was warped. Maybe he only saw it from one perspective. Maybe he saw it at that time as acquiring a lot of money. But now when he looks back, I get the feeling that he wishes he had reevaluated that and pursued different things. So it's not the easiest topic to talk on because I feel like, you know, I can give you what my opinion is on it, and it might not be the same as yours because you've got your own ideas of what it is you want to achieve and why you want to achieve it. I just want to encourage everyone out there to clearly identify what they and what you see as wealth and what you see as success, and take the necessary steps to achieve that. But bear in mind that it's something that might evolve over time. So leave yourself open to adjusting it, you know. But the one thing I've learned on my personal journey, and this is all I can speak about is my journey, is that I am driven to create and to be a part of something that wants to create. And that is what I base mine on. And my wealth and my success is based on the amount of new ideas I can come up with and the amount of new ideas I can action and execute, either individually or in a team. But as long as I'm a part of something that can assist the people in my generation and the people in my country, whatever else comes after that is a byproduct of what I determine as success and as wealth. Yeah, that's pretty much what I have to say about that in a nutshell. It's something that I'm still walking on. It's a journey I'm still taking. But I encourage all of us to determine very clearly what we see as success and as wealth so that we can make the plan to get there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Von Thiel.
Thank you very much.
We just have to put that out there.
see what Touch has killed it, bro. He's killed all the stations.
Oh, guys. So we about to now throw the bone to Lesego, but before we do that, obviously we have to go through some Q&A as well, just to get to understand everything that you've said, Von, and just to get to know a little bit more about what you're saying as well.
Sure.
Cool. So you pretty much saying that we should live a life of contribution, a life that is, or actually you want to live a life of contribution,
yeah,
rather than a life that is just self-assuming. because I mean, in the case of someone who has lived an amazing life, but he felt that the life was more self-assuming than it was contributing to the betterment of society.
Yeah.
And then eventually he felt like even his death was a lonely death.
Yeah.
And maybe it would have been different if he had used more time with people rather than using time with machines and computers and all these things.
Exactly, man. Like, you're right. I do think we should, but I mean, that is my idea of what it is, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time we can get easily consumed by what we see on the media and what we see on TV and that type of thing, and we can order, and it's almost like it's telling us what success and wealth is, which is not always the case, man. Some people determine, you know, success and wealth as really just raising their kids properly. Mm. And that is something that they feel so fulfilled with when they die. So I think it's about identifying what it means to you, and not making it something as fickle, because a lot of wealthy people do achieve sort of material success, and material success and those type of things is fantastic, man. I mean, we can't lie. We all work for that. We go to our jobs because we get paid and we get money so we can do more things. Mm. But I do think that it's not something that fulfills our innate desires to be unique, to create, to leave behind, because so many people in the world work for a salary.
Yeah.
Surely that cannot be the only thing you define as wealth and success, because then we're all doing the same thing.
Long story short, I just want to know, from a Vaughan perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
When you become 99 and you're on that deathbed,
shout out. Yeah.
What are the things that? What are the top five things that you would have deemed your successes in your lifetime?
What are the top five things?
Yeah, that you can say, okay, Vaughan did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that is my definition of success, and this is why I am content with life.
That's a good question. The first one would be that Vaughan created this, and this helped me. I'm talking from somebody else now. Vaughan created this, and this helped me achieve X and Y. Right, that would be one identifier for me. One thing that I would think back on and say, you know, that thing I put out there into the world, that product, that business, that idea, it assisted so many people that weren't able to be assisted before. It created a new way, right?
Yeah.
The other one would be my family were safe and healthy, and my relationship with them was strong. So I was a good father. That would be the other one. Mm. Another one would be that I encouraged young people that felt like they were different or misfits or classified as rebellious and naughty and difficult and et cetera, et cetera. I inspired them, or I ignited the idea in them that they are way more than what people say about them. That they are capable. That you don't have to be a role model to be a leader. I'd like to ignite that in them. And if I could get feedback on young people that have taken that message and made something of themselves on my deathbed, that would be a major indicator for me too. And another one would be that I played a contributing role or an overall role in encouraging young business and encouraging young South Africans to take the issues that we face today and the issues of the past into our hands and actively work towards common goals. So I'd like to be a pioneer for creating a common goal among South African youth. If I could play that role, by the time I die, I would feel satisfied. And then another one, I think another thing I would like to do before my time runs up or my expiry date is reached on this earth would be to play a key role I'm not sure how yet. But I'm not sure when either. But playing a key role in supporting female development in entrepreneurship and in the workplace, empowering young ladies and women to rightfully get what is theirs and to take control of various situations that they seem to have been placed in that might be oppressive. Those type of things, I think I would think back on and critically analyze whether or not I played a honest and contributing role in them. 'Cause those pillars are probably a major key to what I believe, in my opinion, a successful life would be. Overarching one, though, and it always has been, is to be a good father. Because there's a lot of things that contribute towards being a good father, and if I can achieve those, I think then I'll be able to tick my boxes.
Mm. I think it's actually pretty important that we all pretty much find those five boxes, those things that we want to tick.
Yeah.
When we are at our deathbeds, you know, and yeah. What are some of those things that you really feel like, yeah, at least I did this, at least I did that.
Mm.
And the more in detail you can go into it, and the more in detail you can say, this is how it must be, this is how I should have made that difference, you know, not just to say, yeah, something out there, but you go into detail and just say, I specifically feel strongly about young white girls or you know, chickens from the Kalahari Desert.
Mm.
Whatever you do, whatever you're mentioning.
Set a specific target.
A specific target as to what exactly do you want to do? Who do you want to help exactly?
Yeah.
What are the type of, you know, things, projects that you want to do? And then, because the more in detail you have them, the more measurable they are, and the easier it becomes for you to actually achieve these things as well.
Yeah. No, exactly, man. Like, I mean, I thought of those five sort of right now, but I know that they're real because it's things that I dug deep not right now to find inside myself. Like, what are the actual things that I want to achieve?
Yeah.
What are the concepts that I'd like to achieve? So, yeah, if I had to sum them up, I think that would do a fairly good job at doing that.
Fantastic stuff.
I think just to interject there, it's definitely something, yes, people should talk about, but I have no doubt in my mind that it's something that some people will take a long time to figure out.
Absolutely.
Especially because we're in a society where literally, back in the day, you used to be influenced by your immediate friends.
Yeah.
Now you're influenced by millions of people.
Yeah.
You just log on to Facebook, you log on to Twitter, you immediately, whether you like it or not, you are influenced
by millions of people. Peer pressure has become like, at times, what, to the power.
Yeah, it's not even peer pressure, it's like public pressure. It's like,
it's crazy.
They need to teach something new at the LO class.
Yeah,
public pressure.
They have to keep up with the times.
Social pressure.
You don't have to be my peer to put me under pressure now. Like, you know, you can be my follower.
Bless our pressure.
Yeah, bro, shut up. One time for the best. Yeah, it's true. But that's exactly it. Let's say so right, you know. And once again, like, you know, these five things I mentioned, I am open to them adapting throughout my life because that's how I set them up. You know, it's more conceptual than it is anything else.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Von Thiel.
Easy, bro.
That has been Mr. Von right there.
Yeah.
With some really cool stuff. So we're going to be interviewing, or actually not interviewing, we're actually going to be hearing Lesego now talk about something new. He's going to be talking about relationships, and he's going to be going into deep detail, and he says he's going to have a little bit of a spin on it. All right, so let's hear Lesego. I keep on wanting to say Simpiwe. Shame.
FOMO.
Shame, yeah.
So we'll hear yours right after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, so we got Lesego on standby right now. Mr. Mapung, are you ready, sir?
You like switching my mic off, eh?
No, this What's is wrong? Me getting ready, you getting ready.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, man.
Man, the whole time.
Because I know you do your cough-clearing throat thing.
I do, man.
So I want you to do that in silence, you know, so that you don't disturb the flow
of,
you know,
of,
what I mean?
Of everything.
The flow of the energy, you know what I mean? All right, cool. So, ladies and gentlemen, he is the man with the arms. He is also the man with the looks as well. He's won a couple of awards in terms of that category. And he is here with us today because he's one of the tribe of superstar leaders. Please make some noise for Lesego Mapanga.
Oh, mic check. One, two, no. The whole time. Yeah, so basically, jumping straight into relationships, right? It's very awkward because actually I was helping a friend move into a place, yesterday. We're actually talking about relationships and really the dynamic of it all. So essentially, relationships are a good thing. They're there to influence you in the right way. They're there to have someone to support you when you're going through certain phases in life. It's nice to have someone to lean on. The issue with relationships is exactly that. The issue with relationships, especially now, in 2016, when things are moving as quickly as they are, obviously we get into things a lot quicker. Kids are getting cell phones in preschool now. People are getting cars when they're 16 now. And just like with everything else, people are getting relationships very early now. And the thing about that, though, and the thing that I've seen a lot of people pretty much almost go and not develop is literally themselves. A lot of the time now, and you won't pick it up, is that people will know themselves in duality. So you know who you are when you're with this person. But the question is, do you know who you are, you at your core? Are you able to sustain yourself independently? And these things, why this is so important is because it literally has a role of effect on everything else that you do. It doesn't even matter. Any team sphere, whether you're at work or you're working in a team or you work in government, the guys that usually do well are the guys who are able to do work literally by themselves. I've seen a lot of cases where guys literally need to be in a team just to get something done. And it's not because they're incompetent. It's just that they're used to having someone around all the time. It's that almost, it's that space of comfort that they're so used to. And the question is now, if you were to be on your own, if you were to now just up and leave and go to Europe or go to Iceland or whatever, and you were your own and you had to pursue your dreams, would you be able to do it? Excuse me. It's a very daunting prospect for most people, and it's the reason why most people don't move forward is because they're scared of being alone. They're in essence scared of their true selves. And these type of relationships, I know right now we're lingering towards the romantic, but once you switch it up and you look at the people you have around you, and when I speak about this, I'm talking about your friends and I'm talking about your family. A lot of the times, when you listen to a lot of speakers, a lot of guys will tell you that you need to choose your surroundings very carefully. You need to choose who your friends are. And you need to get the right people who influence you the right way. And I understand that. And it's a very difficult thing to do because when you've grown up with a certain group of friends and all of a sudden you guys now, everybody's graduating, they're going their own separate ways, and you realize that you can't relate with your friends anymore and you need to do things on your own, that is not a difficult thing to do. And it's the reason why a lot of guys get held back in pursuing their dreams. And in the same effect, if we take the exact same paradigm and we put it into the dynamics of family, family is a very interesting topic because especially in a place like Africa, family is something that we treasure a lot. You know, we have the phrase umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu, and it's one of those things to say that because you're Zulu and you're raised in a Zulu household, there's certain things that you do in this household that other households don't do. But also with that I've realized what holds us back a lot, especially in the African context, is that we take a lot of abuse from family. And it's the most difficult thing to almost know which relationships to break ties with. And a family aspect, whether it be immediate family, whether it be your cousins, whether it be your aunts. I said this in our seminar last year to say that a lot of people choose their friends. But me, myself, I go to the extent of choosing my family. Because family have a huge, huge, huge amount of impact on you as a person. They're the people that you go to for advice. They're the first people that you go to when things go wrong. And if you don't have the right support structure in
in that area, it will be very difficult for you to move forward as a person. So essentially what I'm saying what's very controversial in saying that you can pick your friends because the world has told you to do that and be surrounded by the right people. But I'm also saying is that you should be able to also pick your family. And if you're a subject of black tax or you're a subject of certain family members who are holding you back, you're going to need to be brave enough to really let go of those relationships. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to like it. It won't be easy. But a lot of the times you'll find that it's necessary. I look at someone like Ibrahimovic, the owner of Chelsea. I mean, that's a guy who was in foster care his whole life. And, you know, I look at his successes and I look at the things that he's done and how tenacious he is when he goes into business dealings. And I'm like, you know what? This is a guy who literally had nothing and who worked his way up. And with that type of mentality, it's a very difficult type of person to really go up against. There's even a parable that says, be careful of people who are scarred, who have nothing and who have come from nothing because they know they can survive. And that's a very powerful statement. Because the person that you should be looking over your shoulder is not so much the person that's been set up the right way. In 2016, there are the haves and there are the have-nots. When it comes to the relationships between the guys of the haves, so these are the guys that went to private school, these are the guys who have the right type of circle, these are the guys with the right type of friends, and these are the guys who are usually, on average, the guys who make it in the top 10%. What I'm saying is that the guy who's the number one in the top 10% usually has a relationship with none of the other 10% that's in there. And that's because he chose a path. He chose the most difficult path, and he chose the path that only he can walk. And it's probably the most difficult. So pretty much everything else really is child's play to him. So essentially, what I'm trying to say is that your environment, and now your environment is wide. Now your environment is the whole world. Your environment is what you want it to be. We say that social media influences you. We say that what you see on your feed influences you. But the truth is, you choose the people that you want to follow. And so you really can't blame social media for your FOMO. You can't blame anyone for anything, because at the end of the day, whoever you're following or whoever you're aspiring to be or whoever your role model is, it's deep down inside, whether you like it or not, it's someone that you want to be. And it's something that you're going to need to live up to. And it's something that you need to like literally go home, sit in a corner and reflect about, to ask, why is it that I want to take this path? And why do these glitter and glamour, appeal to me so much? And if you find that perhaps you're more shallow of a person than what you thought you were, that's okay. That's who you are. There are a lot of shallow people that have made a lot of money off of what I call social currency. You know, we call them Instagram models, but there's some Instagram models that are living very nice lives. People talk about Kim Kardashian and they keep criticizing her, and I'm like, no, she knows exactly what she wants. And if you take Kim Kardashian and you just backtrack like 20, 30 years ago and you look at Marilyn Monroe, it's really two kinds of the same person. And these people will go down in history, and these people will be idolized for a very long time. And it's because they knew exactly what they wanted and they weren't forgiving at all about it. So the relationships that we have, and we have relationships with many different types of people. You have relationships with your family, with your friends. You have a relationship with your idol, whether your idol knows it or not. You have a very intimate relationship with your idol. And I look at people like Beyonce, so we'll keep it current. When Beyonce dropped the album that she did, it's because she understood the type of relationship that she has with her fans. She knows the type of responsibility that is on her shoulders, and she knows the type of message that she needs to push. And, you know, an analyst was actually saying that when they looked at this, said that, you know, Beyonce could have dropped a really hot album full of dance music and a lot of really pop culture type of music, and she would have made a lot of money. But she actually sacrificed a lot of money to push a personal agenda. And the agenda that she's pushing is because of the relationship that she has with her fans. So you, yourself as a person, you need to understand that even if you have no friends, even if you have no family, you have a relationship with someone that looks up to you. You have a relationship, they don't even have to look up to you. All they have to do is just observe you. You have a relationship with someone that perhaps respects the amount of work that you put into your work on a day to day. And if you slack, you almost give that person permission to say, you know what, Lesego slacked, he's human, I'm also human, therefore I will slack too. So it's a lot of responsibility that we have on all our shoulders. And because we're in such an interconnected society now more than ever, you have a relationship. Literally, if you have 5,000 friends on Facebook, you have 5,000 relationships with people. If you have 29,000 followers on Twitter, you have 29,000 relationship links with other people. That is a lot of responsibility. And I'm not saying be perfect. What I am saying is be authentic. If you're the type of person who, like me, I'm not so much for the soft and fuzzy stuff. I've come to a point where I'm like, you know what, guys, if it's not about business and there's not money coming in, I'm really not about this, because I have a relationship with my family and I need to make sure they're living the right type of life that I want them to live. And there's nothing wrong with that. So if you're going to be authentic to yourself and you know exactly the type of message you want to push on a daily basis, what I'm saying is that stick to it. And I know it's not an easy thing to say. I know that FOMO is a real thing. I know that a lot of people get into trouble because of certain pressures that other people put on them unwillingly. And you can't even blame those people, because those people are just living their lives. So if Vaughn wants to wake up tomorrow, buy a new car and put it on Twitter, and he puts you under pressure, it's actually not Vaughn's fault. It's his life. It's what he wanted to do. He is not accountable to what you're doing. But yet the inverse is true, to say that Vaughn acknowledges that he has a relationship with you. But Vaughn must be authentic to himself, so that whatever you see Vaughn doing, and if you want to follow in Vaughn's footsteps, it shouldn't be a pretentious, superficial footsteps that you're following in. It should be authentic stuff. And if Vaughn gets wasted on a Friday, and Lesego's there, and he just happens to Snapchat him wasted, you should know that these are the type of things that happen. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that I don't want to be too emo. What I'm saying is that you have a lot of relationships with a lot of different people, and inherently you have a lot of responsibilities on your shoulder. But at the same time, long story short, don't take yourself so seriously, because being authentic doesn't mean being the most articulate person all the time, or being the most physically fit person all the time. You're allowed to slack, but your motivation should be that there are other people looking at me, and I need to set a certain standard for other people. That should be your motivation. It shouldn't be that people are judging me, because they're not. People want you to do well. Somewhere deep down inside, people want you to do well. Nobody's out here to get you. You don't have haters. Haters don't exist. You have haters. What are their names? What do they do, and where do they work? They don't hate you that much. They have their own jobs to do. They have their own families to look after. They have their own agendas. So what I'm saying is that you have a lot of relationships with a lot of different people. So get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your own head, because you're not that special. The people that are linking to you are more special than you are. And you have a responsibility to uplift the nation as a whole. I don't know if that was 10 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Lesego Maphanga.
Yeah, bars.
That was pretty proper, man. That was pretty proper. Wow, this kid has grown, man.
It's cool,
did
man.
Did you hear the things that come out of this kid's mouth?
The whole time.
I like it. I like
Yo,
it. I like that.
Man, I mean, I know. Lesego, I think when you sit here quietly, you sit and you listen and you jot things down, you go home and you're like, yeah, nah.
That's dope.
Wow, man. This was really inspiring. I actually got a lot out of that. I could relate to quite a lot that you were saying, especially there in the beginning, you know, mentioning people who walk a path that has not been walked before. Therefore, it sometimes is the most difficult or the most challenging path, and only you know how to walk that path, and you don't necessarily always have reference and people to say, hey, yeah, pull a string for me or anything like that.
Yeah,
that's some proper stuff.
I like that. I want to ask you a question there. So I agree with pretty much most of the things you were saying there, obviously, you know, teammates. But the one thing I wanted to ask, to see how you'd answer this, is that you say you got a relationship with 29,000 people that follow you, for instance, 5,000 Facebook, whatever it may be, call it,
yeah,
whatever number it is, could be 500.
Mm.
You know, it's interesting that that you say that, because in a way it's very true. You do have relationship links with these people that have opted into being a part of your life, even if it may be digitally.
Yeah. Right?
So yes, there is a connection there. And that connection has been provided by almost funneling society. So the world was so huge and it was so vast, and now social media has created a funnel where now we can access each other, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, during that process, people out there might be following you and engaging with you on social media that really sort of don't like you or think negative of you. Let's say they've got an opinion of you that's not necessarily true, but because of your, you know, because you refer to the way you're not there for the soft, fuzzy stuff, you're kind of like cutthroat, to the point, what it is we've got to get done, don't waste my time. Some people might pick up offense to that type of behavior. So
most people do, actually.
Yeah. So you've got these people who might be following you by their own choice, which is their own problem, but the reality is that they might have slipped into that funnel and find you to be some type of way, right? How do you go about dealing with people that have a lot to say about you and what you're doing that might not necessarily be true? They've got an opinion of it that they like to push in on an agenda on the side, or when your name's mentioned in conversation, they're like, ah, that guy, he's like this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Do you shrug it off? Do you actively have to cut them off or block them or whatever it may be on social media? Or do you let that just be as a part of an organic a human experience?
You know, it works to degrees, right? And I know a lot of people are actually very different. So you'll always have those type of people. You'll always, whether you're doing really well or you're doing absolutely nothing, you know, if you're like the bum of the family and you just go to like a family reunion and you have nothing to live up to your name, people will always say something about that.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, and this is something I wish we were taught at school and we weren't, is really how to grow a thick skin. And really allowing what type of comments and what type of things to enter our universe. Because the things that you enter, so no one can offend you, right? No one can actually say something without your permission.
Yeah.
And it's those little things, because you see guys in high school, you know, the pressure, like high school kids are mean.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, full stop. So high school kids are mean. They're so mean. And I wish someone has told those kids to say that, listen, these things will always happen. Yeah. You've got to shrug it off.
Yeah.
And that's why, to some level, I really respect very popular people in popular culture. The amount of thick skin that you need to have to pretty much live in that type of environment, it's phenomenal. Me myself, it's in my culture. I choose what I take in and I choose what I take out.
Yeah.
But also, though, I always acknowledge it. Because sometimes, you know, if you're just going to block out everything that offends you, you won't grow as a person. Because someone's going to tell you the truth. But you know, you're actually just rude.
Yeah.
You know? Being stern and being rude is not the same thing.
Yeah.
So then it's Lesotho's responsibility to say, okay, you know, maybe I am rude.
Maybe perhaps I should learn from this.
Perhaps I should learn from this and I should know how to get around this. But it's also then very important for the people that Lesotho hangs around with.
Mm.
So if one says, you know, Lesotho, actually, you're just a dick.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps you just be nice, just smile at people.
Mm.
Those are the type of comments that you really need to take in, internalize it, and literally actively learn from it. Do a 360 overnight, but you'll definitely be a better person.
So again, it's kind of like you let it be, you organically let that happen, because you do accept that there's people like that in life. Even though, like, what's crazy is the social media has also created a platform for us to be aware of these things, because previously you could have met somebody, right, that could be talking about you anyway, but you just wouldn't know about it now.
Yeah,
now you could know about
now
it.
You
so
know about it.
Now you know how to operate. So it's really not about getting, it's really allowing yourself sort of the right to not get offended by certain things people say, to rather internalize it, take it in, and if you can see it's just purely malicious, just let it go. Don't entertain things that are going to just evolve into something that brings you down. Kind of let it slide, kind of let it go. Certain things, take them in and work it out how you could be better at certain things.
I remember when we had Tebe Kalafeng right here in the studio, one of the things he mentioned was that big brands do something that even we should do, which is gossip. They go and create their own gossip.
Mm.
So they create gossip about themselves and then hear what
people say about it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So this is like surveys, right?
Crowdsourcing.
Yeah. So he took it as far as saying, start a conversation and record the phone. And put the phone on record and leave the room and hear what people say about you about that conversation. And then when you listen to this, you shouldn't be thinking, how dare they? This person. And I thought that you were on my side. Now I know who the backstabbers are. But instead say, oh, wow, this is what the world thinks of me. I need to change me. And say, okay, cool, because that's what companies do. They get that research.
Yeah.
And then they say, huh, what can we change about our product? People seem to think it tastes better.
Yeah. You know? You're very right. Like, you know what's a very powerful tool to use? Twitter, right? And I'll tell you how. Because a lot of the time, this is what I've always been aware of. Don't take the comments into consideration that actually tag your handle. Go search Twitter for your name brand not being tagged. Because then you're getting authentic point of view of what someone thinks. Someone goes and writes about Clover, but doesn't tag Clover in the tweet. You must know that person really thinks that, because they're not trying to do it to get attention or a retweet or a fight.
Yeah.
They're doing it because, this Clover product, I know, it doesn't work for me. You know what I mean? They don't know about tagging.
Yeah.
So sometimes searching through the noise and finding the real tweets to use to better yourself is very, or the useful comments, let's say, to better yourself is very important. So it's almost exactly what this guy was saying.
Yeah.
Let it record, let it be. But I was thinking there's a PR spin on that, because you could get some really juicy, gossip, write a fake article and say so and so says this and this.
Put on the Daily Sun.
Do you know what I'm saying? Done, bro.
Okay, that's another way to go.
Yeah, but that's
it.
A bit sharky. Don't do that.
Oh, goodness. Okay, gentlemen, just to conclude, can I just hear some closing comments from the both of you?
I'll go first. Pretty much, it's 2016. It's a beautiful time to be alive. Do what you can where you are with what you have. No excuses. No one cares how you feel. No one cares where you came from. No one cares where you're going in your mind. Trees don't talk about the fruit they're going to bear. They are just but the fruits that they do bear.
That's dope. Before you can become a tree that bears any fruit, you need to know what your roots are. And you need to be solid in your foundation. Yeah. So I would say, determine what it is that you see as success. Determine what it is that you see as wealth, and actively make steps towards achieving that. And think about it in the bigger picture. Always be focusing on what it is you could do that impacts society, impacts the world, and provides your soul with the satisfaction it needs when our expiry date comes.
Wow. That has been another amazing session right here. This is Unplugged and In Charge. And I'm hoping you're charged up. I'm certainly charged up. I'm hoping you're ready to take on the weekend and take on everything else with it. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Weza Matomane. I was joined with Von Thiel and Lesego Maponga. And we're signing out.
Cliff Central Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.